This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Please be seated. Well, good morning. What is your name? And I don't mean the name on your birth certificate, but I'm asking you to think about the name that you call yourself when you're feeling alone or afraid or grief-stricken. How do you speak to yourself when times are hard and you feel defeated or isolated? What happens when doubt or shame or the struggles of the world overcome you? Most of us at one point or another forget who we truly are, and we begin to deny our identity as beloved children of God. We take on names that come not from heaven, but from hurt. Names like failure, not enough, unwanted, imposter. And over time, those names start to feel like the truth. In today's gospel, Jesus asks the man for his name, and he replies, Legion. He's so overwhelmed by the demons and the voices in his head that he no longer knows who he is. He is naked, exiled, unclean, and living among the dead. He's lost both his identity and his place in society. This weekend, we mark Juneteenth. June 19, 1865, when the final enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, were told that they were free, more than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. It's a day that celebrates freedom delayed, but not denied. A moment when names like slave, property, and forgotten were challenged and began to be replaced with names like free, citizen, and child of God. Certainly it's work and transformation that continues to this day, but Juneteenth provides an important reminder of the need to remain vigilant and of the extent to which human systems can resist justice and change. This gospel lesson is also a reminder and a witness to the truth that some systems are built to keep people in tombs, that some voices will do anything to delay the truth of liberation. But it's also a witness to the God who crosses boundaries, who steps into chains and injustice, and calls people by their real names. In baptism, we're given a name that no nation or demon or system can take away. We're claimed as God's beloved, just like the man in the gospel, who is transformed from being unnamed, possessed, naked, and isolated, to being clothed, free, and restored to community. Our life in Christ is transformational. It overturns the systems of the world. But we also have to notice how Jesus travels across the sea into Gentile territory, into an unclean place, to set this man free. He crosses boundaries to reach someone who is forgotten, overwhelmed, and isolated. Jesus moves to the margins and confronts the very systems that hold us back and distort our identity as God's beloved, reminding us that we're created for love and for freedom. Then in verse 35, the townspeople hear what has happened, and they come and they find the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and were told that they were afraid. But why were they afraid? What scared them? Why was seeing this man restored and in his right mind somehow scarier than the chaos that consumed him before? The townspeople had grown accustomed to his condition. They developed a system to contain him and to keep him away. He was chained, naked, and possessed, but he somehow fit into their routine. So when he is clothed and whole, it disrupts everything, and his liberation unsettles them. Jesus not only transforms the man's life, he disrupts the entire ecosystem of the town. We're reminded that divine grace threatens the status quo by bringing freedom and upending the world. If this man can come back from possession and from the tombs, then perhaps no one is beyond the reach of God's mercy and redemption. And if that's true, then what other systems might God be about to undo? We think we know who belongs within our systems and structures and who is outside. But God seeks out those divisions and tears them apart. God sets people free and brings the exiled into community. And that grace can feel threatening because it reshapes our world. It forces us to reimagine who belongs, who speaks, who leads, and who is seen. And it's only in time that we begin to recognize that this transformation is a gift. But how often do we react the same way? When someone challenges the way that we see the world, when someone we once labeled other begins to speak with clarity and truth, claiming their identity as God's beloved, how do we respond when our own world is turned upside down? How tightly do we cling to the divisions and the biases that give us a false sense of safety and control? So I ask you again, what is your name? Is it the name you received in love, the one that declares your identity in God? Or is it the name that the world gave you in fear? Remember that you were named in baptism with a truth deeper than shame and stronger than hate. Remember that you are God's beloved, and no voice, no system, no demon can take that away from you. And when you find yourself among the fearful crowd, wary of the change that's unfolding around you, remember that the townspeople needed time to adjust and to digest what they had seen. They needed the ongoing witness of the man in their midst. But we have to stay ready, stay vigilant, because God is still crossing boundaries and stepping into tombs. God is still working to bring justice and peace to a broken and divided world. And God is still reminding us of who we are and sending us to proclaim that same message of freedom and love. My prayer is that we might be bold enough to receive and to believe our own identity as God's beloved, and then that we might also be bold enough to share that message with the world. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.